This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As the pandemic shut down traditional venues for musicians and actors and dancers, the next best option for a lot of people was to try to coordinate some kind of digital performances, something that people could watch on Zoom or maybe on Facebook Live. What if we thought of this moment not as some sort of pandemic stopgap, but as an opportunity to creatively reimagine what digital performance is even supposed to look like? That was the goal of a group of University of Michigan professors and students this summer with a project called Sonic Scenographies. With us today is Akari Kimura with the School of Music, Theater, and Dance, a graduate student and a composer vocalist. Akari, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And we're also speaking with Anya Serrata, an architectural designer, an associate professor, and associate dean at the Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning at U of M. Anya, nice to have you too.
Great to be here.
Akari, I wanted to start with a question for you. Could you take us back to when you realized earlier this spring or this winter that it was going to be a while before you could get back to doing any kind of live shows?
Right. Yeah. So it was quite kind of hard time and hard to keep myself even just motivated. And even through right now, we're still having this limit of not being able to interact with actual musicians in a physical shared space. But yeah, finding about this Sonic Scenographies opportunity was really great for me, as it kind of really transformed kind of my stuck moment into propelled me into kind of getting creative and keep going with my creative process and try to explore different or experiment with new things.
Akari, had you ever done any kind of distance performance before this year?
No, actually, I've never done any kind of this telemactic performances before.
Anya, tell me a little bit about how the concept got started, that maybe this couldn't be a problem, but actually a project.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it in your introduction, but it's true. Last spring, we were hit by the pandemic that really brought so many of these challenges into focus. You know, our students, they saw their internships, their travel opportunities, their learning plans just dry up across this country. And for fields that are creative, you know, like architecture, design, performance, art, music, we are so reliant on collaboration and spontaneity and interactive exchange. The dilemma of how to sort of chart a way forward became very difficult and very self-evident. So spaces like studio, where designers work together in close proximity, or venues that draw a packed, exuberant audience, suddenly these were transformed into sort of risky business for us, and they became impossible. That's when we got together with faculty from Taubman College and faculty from the School of Music, Theater, and Dance, along with Arts Engine, an initiative at U of M, and we started to plot a way forward. And we began to sort of imagine possibilities of an alternate creative environment in digital space. And what became evident very quickly is that we started to imagine that our students were probably uniquely poised to address this kind of thinking and experimentation. And we wanted to invite them to participate across disciplines and help us imagine what these platforms and experiences might look like. And that's how we launched this kind of call to action with our students and with support from faculty to innovate across disciplines and to create spaces for performance and collaboration and cultural experience that we're so reliant on in these fields and that we were missing so much.
Well, like Anya just said, architecture is a highly collaborative discipline. And likewise, just about every form of music, dance, and theater involves a high degree of collaboration as well. But were you sure at the beginning that you could collaborate together, so to speak, that you could figure out a common language for how to work on this? Akari, could you begin?
Well, yeah, at first I never even imagined collaborating with the architecture students. So that was a kind of a surprise. And I was, yeah, unsure about how that would go, really throwing myself into this unknown world. But then as we had all these like initial meetings and as we spent more and more time Zoom meeting weekly and bi-weekly meetings, there were so many just interesting overlaps in the concepts or the processes and the ways that I think about my music composition and how the architecture students also think about this physical space. And for example, we were, my team, the staging place, were working on two virtual / physical space integrated into each other. So we were looking into this idea of placeness and how the importance of geographical locations and this small scale community that's around us. And I was kind of thinking of the sonic environment and how the sound kind of acts in certain spaces. And the architecture students also were looking into kind of classifications of these places by urban sound or like cars or nature sound, like what's happening in that particular space.
And were those necessarily deal breakers?
Oh, yes. Well, in terms of like finding what spaces to have these performance spaces on, and just in the terms of the brainstorming process, that was interesting to kind of encounter these overlapping approaches with the architecture students and kind of thinking about the functions of the places as well.
How about you, Anya? What did this collaboration look like? What were the necessary ingredients from an architecture perspective?
Well, just to be honest, we were going on a hunch that this would work. There was no precedent that this experiment would come to fruition in the way that it did. We tried to encourage everyone to be as exploratory and experimental in this as possible, and not to think about a product as the end game, but really to explore a process. So that was our strategy from the get-go. Relieve some of the stress of having to resolve what seemed like a pretty heavy lift. But underneath it all, the basis of it was we really believed that there is connective tissue between what seems to be two different disciplines, performance and architecture, because both of them rely on composition, both rely on choreography, both consider the way bodies move in space and time. And so we were hoping, we were banking that these similarities would create the right ingredients for students to be able to find a language and a mode of collaboration, even if they weren't working in the same space at the same time. And in fact, you know, even the experiment of how they would collaborate virtually over the summer became a resource for us to imagine ways forward as we reconfigured our pedagogy and reconfigured our curriculum in both schools.
I love the fact that you guys had to come up with these solutions over Zoom, that the very same challenges that all performers and all architects are dealing with are perhaps not the most ideal situation in which to start a new collaboration, but you did it. Will you talk to us a little bit about some of the possible solutions that you were able to explore and, you know, what kinds of things might work for performers?
Well, one thing that we noted was that some of these projects, some of these experiments actually took into consideration what one might think of as problems in performance, like lag or dissonance. And instead of masking them or attempting to solve for them, they use them as a tool, as a design tool. So there's a project in particular that really struck me. I think it's called Schmood.studio that a group of students came up with, and it produces a virtual platform with audio controls, and you can customize the background. And as many performers and artists and designers can participate in this as they choose. And maybe there's something a little bit awkward, maybe there's something a little bit glitchy about it, but it accepts that quality and allows people to really get excited and exuberant about it. And in fact, when we showed this project to performance artists that are leaders in the field, they could imagine using it and actually deploying it in their own work. So that was exciting.
So it's not necessarily the sort of thing that would work for a chamber orchestra in a highly traditional musical field, but for performers who might have a bit of creativity in how they think about their performances anyway, there's some real possibility here?
Exactly.
Got it.
I love the fact that you brought up about like the glitchiness, because that was kind of our, also my team's like main concept that became really important to us and something that we thought was going to be a big issue, but we tried to embrace that lag and the delays that come up as a technical issue. So we were having these two places live streaming one place to the other location, and these glitchy audio and then videos were being projected onto a wall. But not having it high quality made the audience to kind of feel connected to the physical space by not having their full attention to this high quality production. Whereas this kind of low fidelity allowed the audience to kind of step back a little bit and yeah, feel that what's happening around them physically in combination with what's happening in the screen. So yeah, that was something interesting that happened through this experimental process. And like, yeah, you said, the fact that this project was experimental more than this focus on having this complete result made the members to work in a really nice way.
I love that you bring this up, Akira, because this wasn't a set of experiments that were simulating something missing from our lives. You know, it wasn't the production of a large theater and a fidelity to the sound that we were missing in a large theater experience. I think instead these projects really leaned into the discoveries that we make when normative spaces are not available to us, where normal experiences are no longer what we count on, but it begins to help us reimagine the everyday spaces, the spaces that are not typically associated with performance as opportunities for discovery. I mean, one of the projects literally, I think it was called Patchwork. It literally considered what happens in your closet or your bath when you begin to change the materials that are in your quotidian, simple, private space, and how that creates new acoustic qualities and tracks that in an archive so that performance artists or audience members can even reimagine their own home space as a space of discovery.
I think for a lot of people, understandably, the focus right now is on the things that we've lost, you know, trips with family, meeting up with friends for a show or a favorite restaurant. But this project reframes all of that as a moment of opportunity to see things in a way that we haven't seen them before. Could you talk a little bit about what that's meant in terms of the shift in perspective or how intimacy might be regained in different ways?
Yeah, I agree. It's intimacy regained. It's a sense of agency over the way we live our lives and how we express ourselves. And it's also, I think in many ways, these projects illustrate access. How despite the fact that these are very difficult times and we are isolated, there might be opportunities in using new technologies in order to create a plethora of new opportunities for artists to both collaborate across disciplines, but also express themselves in unprecedented ways. Especially in our current cultural climate, finding ways to talk to others and to coexist in this world becomes incredibly important. I think many of these projects illustrated that with very small resources and with creative thinking, we can innovate, we can still coexist, and we can tell stories about our experiences with others. And we can still experience things together, even though we're quite a ways apart.
Akari, tell me your thoughts on this. I know that the kind of performance you're doing now is just sonically so very different. The sounds that people hear coming out of their laptop speakers are not going to hit people the same way as the bigger sounds of a performance space or a concert hall. But how were you able to retool your thinking?
Yeah, just I kind of started to shift that perspective by thinking that I actually can invite the audience to be in a particular setting that they wouldn't be able to in like a concert hall setting where they're sitting like rigid and being in this fixed position of sitting. One piece where I kind of invite the audience to lay on the ground between these two audio devices in their home so that it's something that they wouldn't be able to experience, or something like walking in the nature or being outdoors while listening to a piece. So kind of this setting up our particular situation for the audience and inviting them to experience my music in an unusual way is kind of a new shift for me that I've been trying to explore more through this pandemic time. So yeah, just curating that space. And also I've been working a lot on kind of fixed media works and also taking opportunity of videography, which wouldn't, again, be able to happen in live performance setting. So again, kind of getting back to this project's core, but just reimagining what's possible instead of trying to replicate what used to be available.
Akari, are there pieces that you've worked on that you think have actually have come out the better for this kind of interaction?
Oh, yes. Back in April, that was actually the first piece that I kind of started on after this shutdown and feeling a bit kind of unmotivated about how to even collaborate with musicians. But I wrote a piece that based on the performers' geographical locations and the wind direction that they're experiencing at the moment they're performing the piece. And this music composition score is kind of this aleatory, improvisatory score so that it requires less of this like rhythmic synchronicity, but it focuses more on this individual performer's breath cycle rhythm and this in-the-moment feeling of their experience with the wind. And I asked out to a bunch of my music friends all over and started collecting these audio files, and I started piling them together. And because they're not exactly recorded with a click track or anything, they don't exactly line up. But there was kind of this beautiful, unexpected moments of togetherness and untogetherness. And yeah, so I really loved that idea. I started to be more open to let my compositional control, but kind of letting that freedom from the performer's own voices and accepting that into my kind of final product of the composition.
Akari Kimura is a composer and vocalist within the School of Music, Theater, and Dance. And Anya Sarada is an architectural designer and associate dean at Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning, both within the University of Michigan. Anya, Akari, thank you so much for talking to us about this. It's an interesting project.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.